The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Jonathan Healy in for Pat. This year marks the 25th anniversary of the Belfast Agreement, and one writer who grew up in Derry and now lives in Fermanagh believes that although it was supposed to be all-encompassing, the peace babies have been left high and dry. Emma D'Souza, good morning.
Good morning, Jonathan.
I suppose we better define a peace baby. What do you mean by that term?
Well, typically the peace baby definition or the Good Friday generation are those who were born after 1998, or at least who were quite young around that period of time. So who wouldn't have been able to vote for the Good Friday Agreement, but who were, I suppose, destined, as Lyra McKee put it, to, you know, never see the horrors of war, but reap the spoils of peace. And much evidence demonstrates that they haven't actually benefited from the peace dividend that they were destined to have.
What are they missing out on, do you think, compared to their contemporaries, either in the south of Ireland or across the water in the UK?
Well, I think it's important to examine, I suppose, what the aspirations and future envisioned within the Good Friday Agreement was, and examine where we are. And I think part of the motivation behind writing this piece was because when we get to these big milestone anniversaries, such as the 20th anniversary, now the 25th, this year, there is a tendency to look backward instead of critically examining where we are in the peace process and how we can move things along. And if you look, for example, at the state of social housing, it remains 90% segregated. The education system remains over 90% segregated. Peace walls remain, or political institutions are divisive, not functioning at all at the moment. And we can see from research and data that this has a disproportionate impact on the North's young people. The so-called brain drain is a sort of system where a lot of young people in Northern Ireland are leaving, and research demonstrates that they tend to not come back. And whenever you ask those who have moved on to further afield what the prime motivators are, it tends to be a lack of good community relations and the divisions and divisiveness of our politics. So you can't really look at that generation, 600,000 have been born since 1998, and say that they really benefited from the spoils of peace, because the majority of mechanisms and commitments within the Good Friday Agreement that were aimed at social cohesion and equality have never actually been fully realised.
What do they identify as, these peace babies? Do they divide themselves along traditional lines, or, as I suspect might be the case, more and more of them just see themselves as Northern Irish, or without allying to either side of the traditional divide?
Yeah, there's plenty of evidence to support the fact that this generation has a different set of priorities, and they really want to break free from the divisions and segregation of the past. The Northern Ireland Life and Times survey in 2020 showed 49% of 18 to 24-year-olds do not identify themselves as unionist or nationalist. And research from the Northern Ireland Youth Forum has shown that when asked questions around what their priorities were, young people are stating that their priorities are the environment, education, mental health, and issues such as legacy of the past. Was only 7% of respondents said that that was something that was a point of concern for them. So this is a generation that's really trying to find pathways to build a society of equals and is not interested in the division of the past. The problem is our politics is still trapped in that cycle of division.
And what do they make of that then? And what does that generation think of the consistent refusal, in the case of many in Northern Ireland, to get involved with the peace process, the DUP stalling, the majority wanting to get the institutions up and running, but because of the Good Friday Agreement, which did bring about peace on this island, it can't happen without the DUP's agreement. I mean, do they see it for what it is, or do they somehow run the risk of falling back into more parochial lines, more traditional lines, of having to, forcing them to side one or the other?
I think that from what we can see, what happens is a lot of young people just tend to leave. They don't agree with what's happening in Northern Irish politics. Surveys and research and data all indicate that this generation does not agree with stop-start politics and just wants the functions of the assembly to operate. And it's deeply frustrating, and it actually has a sort of disenfranchising effect on young people, because then not only do they tend to leave Northern Ireland, but they also tend to maybe not go out and vote because they don't see the purpose in going to the polls whenever we have a political system that isn't actually operating. And as we've seen recently with this current stalemate in Northern Ireland Assembly, there is now more conversations around whether or not the institutions and how they function might have to change and might have to adapt to try and sort of bring them up to speed with how society has changed over the last two decades. And I think that there will be quite a lot of appetite within young people to do that as well. Now, the challenge we have is that a lot of young people in Northern Ireland have not been given the skills and resources and spaces to equip them to take forward the peace process. We have had a lack of succession planning and forward thinking, and that has meant that we actually have an aging society of peace builders. And now we're getting close to the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. I think it really is a critical time for us to make sure that that generation is in the room to ask the critical questions of what does that generation see in terms of their future and how do they think we can move things forward? Because currently we're not being able to get any progress.
We seem to be on a trajectory now where the Northern Ireland Protocol, it isn't being used as a battering ram by the British government anymore. There may be room for manoeuvre that might solve the issues there that might get the Assembly back up and running. This entrenched London position, which forced an entrenched EU position, seems to have passed. If we get past the protocol, if we get everything up and running, do you think we're going to get more young people engaged in politics in Northern Ireland? Do you think that the economic success that the North is enjoying compared to what's happening in England, Scotland and Wales, that all of this will start to lead to a more positive outcome? Or do you think that alienation, that isolation will continue?
I think it needs to be much broader. I think that the deal in Northern Ireland Protocol, which almost certainly is going to happen at some point, and I think that, you know, that may result in the Assembly being back up and running. But without meaningful reform, I think that the Assembly in its current term won't really last. If we look at the last 25 years, we've had 7 collapses in that time. So that shows us that the system we have in place is not really fit for purpose, and it has to be examined in terms of how to amend that. But there are a lot of different areas that need to be addressed in order to really bring young people into the room. There's a socioeconomic impact. There's the social deprivation in some working class areas that hasn't been addressed. There's the education system. We've seen from a piece of research by Parallel Histories that education in terms of history is being taught down Troubles lines, with Catholic schools teaching a different history period than the state schools. So you have to go through the entire system in terms of reviewing the curriculum, ensuring that the Good Friday Agreement is being taught, and trying to get young people to see themselves in the agreement to be able to take it forward. Then you need to create more spaces for young people, because there is a lack of room for them, a lack of avenues for them to be able to express how they want to take the peace process forward. So structures such as, for example, the youth forum could be quite useful. And in my piece, I actually argued a youth forum really should be on an all-island basis, because we have to remember that the peace process is not simply a northern affair or a northern issue, but an all-island responsibility. And young people across the island should be mobilized, particularly around the 25th anniversary, to come together and try to see if they have some thinking, fresh perspectives and ideas on how to break the stalemate we have in the peace process and try to get it kick-started again. So you have to look at all those different issues. The problem we have in Northern Ireland is, even if we have a functioning assembly, there's a lack of delivery on commitments. So we can have strategies in terms of child poverty strategies, in terms of violence against women strategies, in terms of social housing strategies, but they never get delivered. So I think there has to be a real critical examination of breaking that cycle.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. Emma D'Souza, writer and political commentator, thanks very much for joining us on the Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.